like to learn together in honor of this Purim Tavshinayim Zayin, a very famous halacha which is based on the Gemara. Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, source number one, says, Chayiv Inish Levesume Bepurya Adlo Yoda Ben Aru Haman Levarach Mordechai, which we most people explain as follows: a person should become intoxicated on Purim to the point of no longer being able to differentiate between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordechai. Now, before we even continue with our discussion, all of us, when we hear this thought of the idea of getting drunk on Purim, immediately most of us have a very visceral emotional reaction. And what comes to mind is whatever experiences you may have, either in your own home or on the street with people who are drunk. So what I'd like us to do is to recognize those parts in us that have this reaction and ask them just to step out for the next hour out of whatever room you're in and allow yourself to be open to hearing the discussion that we're going to have. And then after the hour, you can invite them back in so that we don't have this emotional barrier that we can't then take in what there is to learn. And there's a lot to learn. We're just going to touch on a number of the ideas, but there's a lot to learn. Why is wine such an important, integral part? So Rabbi Strickhoff, in his book, Purim and His Practices, notes that all the miracles of Purim occur through wine parties, whether it's Achashverosh and the demise of Vashti, and Esther becomes queen through a party, and ultimately Haman's downfall through a party. And this is the Pirsumei Nisa. We recognize that the miracle happened through a lot of the parties of wine, as well as the Manas Halevi points out at the end of Source 3, that wine creates unity between people. It breaks down barriers, it creates brotherhood and love, which is one of the themes of the day. Having said this, the Siach Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Roth Zatzal, asked a very obvious question, and he said, I understand that there's really two aspects to the Purim experience. There's the aspect of Mishteh V'Simcha, the aspect, like in any Yontif, to have a meal and enjoy, and there's also the aspect which is unique to Purim, of Levesumeh, of getting drunk on Purim, which is not necessarily connected to the first aspect. It's its own right. Not like usually on a yontif you have wine. This is separate. There's a separate category that drinking the wine, adlo yada, that you don't know between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. So we ask them this two very basic questions. One is, Ma tam shalachazu, lama shalo yeda, adrama shigeda v'yeda. What do you mean we should know? Judaism is about knowledge. Judaism is about knowing. That's our quintessential, you know, attribute is knowledge, right? We begin the Shmoneh Esrei, Tachonin L'Adam Dat, number one on the list. Ad Delo Yada, until you don't know. How do we understand this? And two, Gaminyan Halavasume Kashema, oh, the arrow in source number two. Getting drunk is very difficult to understand. How do we understand this? Because the whole idea of drunkenness is davar zaru. It's strange to us. It's not matim to Klal Yisrael. Jews don't get drunk. It's something that you find in other nations, right? New Year's Day, you know, lahavdil. People, you know, how do they celebrate? They get drunk. Friday night, they go to bars. That's not Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is about drinking. Okay, we have a cup of wine for Kiddush, but we don't get drunk. It's not a Jewish concept. How do we understand this drinking on Purim? So what I'd like to try to do is really divide this year into three parts. Part number one is to talk about the aspect of the drunkenness itself. How do we analyze this from a number of aspects? Part number two is to look at the idea of that we don't know the difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And part number three is to understand the idea of Adlo Yada, of not knowing. Those are the three aspects I'd like to deal with. And as we've always said, there's a lot more here than we're going to touch on, but we're going to get a sense of these three topics. The idea of drinking on Purim, getting drunk. So Rabbi Biderman Be'er Chaim brings down mitzvah gedolah. It's a great mitzvah. Umesugel u'dvarim vohim v'ramim, and one who gets drunk reaches some great heights. And he brings down the idea, she'idei yitbasmut b'purim efshar lizko l'revach gadol v'atzalah b'chol inyanim. One who drinks at the Purim Suda is able to reach great heights of salvation in many areas of one's life. And, continuing the next page in 7a, says the Be'er Chaim, V'lam takana dinim v'agvuros, it has the ability to mitigate strong judgment. U'b'yoter b'mishtev v'simcha v'sunus burim dey ratzon hu b'romomim. And we know that, in general, whether you drink or you don't drink, women, of course, do not drink. It's not an Indian of sneas. But those, everyone, has that the shas hasuta, the time of the meal. We know in source number 7b, Vayomer Amel Esther b'mishte hayayin mashe latech v'yinate lach. The king says to Esther at the party, what's your request, and I'll give it to you. This is his mangrama that the melech malcheim lochim, the king of the world, the ha-melech, turns to the Esther, the hidden part of all of us, and asks us what our requests are. And this is a gewaltic time, as we've spoken about. It's a tremendous eiratzav, a very auspicious time to daven during the suda, and that our requests should be answered for the good. And that's why the suda, normally we have it go into the evening hours. The evening represents the dinim, the time of judgment, that we want the hamtakas hadinim. We want to take the Yeshua of Purim and bring him in to the darker parts of our lives. So to get drunk on Purim is mamish able to reach tremendous Yeshua's brachos, hatzalos. The Rav Gamliel in Tiva Moadim describes it in Source 8 like a navi, a prophet. When he would have prophecy, he would like lose control of his limbs of his body and be in a state of complete ecstasy to God. So to a person who's drunk loses control of parts of his functioning, and he too can enter into a state of complete ecstasy to Hashem. V'tishe'er adat p'nuya v'lavodat ha'lokim v'simcha rayon b'vad. And all you're focused in on is the joy of this day. And indeed, when one just focuses in on that, and like, you know, the world is shut out, you reach in 7c to a level, dargas adam arisha, before the sin, that you are completely connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are some amazing things that happen. When a person is drunk at the Suda, they mamish are able to reach these great heights of spiritual connection, and they're able to bring down, just to mamish daven from the depths of their heart, and to bring down tremendous Yeshua Sabrachos to this world. As well, we'll just again emphasize that whether we drink or don't drink, the time of the Suda is a gewaltic time to daven for requests to be answered. Now, having said this, we need to add a caveat, and that is, as the Matzilos Be'or Chassidus notes in Source 9, Gam L'Dadus Avrim Shul Mesume Perush Shichrut, Nidreshet Zihrut V'Avchana Yitera Ben Shichrut Muteret L'Shichrut Asura. If we understand that L'Mesume means to get drunk, we have to understand that there is appropriate drinking and inappropriate drinking. And we have to realize that the appropriate drinking is drinking that's going to bring us to Simcha Shel Mitzvah. And the Mefarshim he brings down say very clearly that all your kavana has to be L'Shem Shemayim, continuing in 9, has to be for the sake of heaven by the aspects, to remember the miracle that happened through the Mishnah Yayin, through the party of wine, and not those who get drunk just because they enjoy the drinking, and they, you know, reach a level of schok v'kalus rosh. He says, v'zehu b'lisafek rav v'marv v'avon plili. This is not what's acceptable. What is acceptable is simcha, is joy, not holulus, not schok and kalus rosh. And how careful you have to be on Purim, that you wash appropriately and you say benching appropriately. For Rafikus brings down that one who benches on Purim with kavana is bringing down a shefa, tremendous amount of blessing into your parnasa for the entire year, into your livelihood. How much concentration we need to have. How much concentration we need to have in davening afterwards. And he says, drinking does not give you a license to be porek old Torah mitzvahs, that you don't do Torah mitzvahs because I'm drinking. So I'm involved in one mitzvah, so I'm putter from every other mitzvah. Wrong. And in fact, he brings here an idea, source number 11 from the Or Meir. It's like, boggles your mind when you hear this idea. He says, No Ryan Dvarov Agnoshim Shala Or Meir, Shikote, She'elu Asmechim V'Simcha Gufani Greta. Those who drink just to be able to have the joy of getting drunk, Chet'am Chamor, their sin is akin to Chet'am Shel Yehudei Shoshan, Shenen Mesoto Shel Osa Russia, like those who came to the meal of Achashverosh and enjoyed his meal. Then, I mean, can you imagine equating the two? That's how careful we have to be. It has to be mamash l'shem shamayim, that every piece of food that we eat is in order l'persume nisa, to remember the miracle, and to have shelech v'hodaya, and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That has to be our mindset in the Suda. And if a person is so drunk and can't do that, then they've lost out on the point of what the drinking is supposed to bring them to. Further, notes of Erechaim in Source 10a. Omnam le'itach, as great as getting drunk is and reaching these high levels of nevuah, sarifli zaher shalot teitzei tkala mitachat edo. You have to be so careful that no harm comes as a result of your drinking. Because one who is not careful of drinking, and, God forbid, is going to insult somebody and going to hurt somebody through their mouth and saying things that are inappropriate because they're drunk, that is completely usur. Ulam asur ligrom shagam chaveru yetzei midato mechamato al yideo nas dvarim, to make somebody else hurt because of you know, like they should leave their dat because of your drinking. It's inappropriate completely. And he says, the yatsas charoba haseito, all that you're going to gain, you're going to lose. Ubitshitab dechai gaevna, adif tfe lismocha dole poschi. If you know that you are going to be one who's going to say inappropriate things, you can rely on those who say, and we'll see this, that chayiv inish masume bepurya adelo yata, means until you reach that level, not all inclusive reaching that level. V'lachena rotzel la'adero otzro lishtakera sur lo soken ki miyodeh bebirur shal yifkav lo yitzer chaveiro. If you have even a shemitz of a doubt, a shade of a doubt, yesveik sveika, that you may hurt somebody, it's better that shave al tasa adif lishtakera than don't get drunk. You know, Rav Biederman in his Sefer, under the line, has a number of meisim stories. He tells one story of a Shavu Brachot where a friend of the chassan gets up drunk and he starts talking about things the chassan did when he was in his, you know, youth. And everyone's laughing, including the chassan. And Rav Biederman points out, he says that when the Shavu Brachot were over, this chassan went into a private room and cried his eyes out for hours from the shame and embarrassment that he felt. One is not allowed, because of drinking, to do shvichus damim, to do murder. It's not allowed. It's just usur. And that's what we have to understand. And if you want to understand the severity of what it means, how careful we have to be with the honor of people, I'm going to share with you two small stories that Rav Biederman shares about sensitivity to people. The first story happened in Tveria. Without getting to the halachic implications, there was a certain question about the Eruv, and the Sephardi chief rabbi and the Ashkenazi chief rabbi met Erev Shabbos, and they spoke about it, and the Sephardi chief rabbi said he would take care of it. Come Shabbos morning, people came to Ashkenazi chief rabbi who know, and they said, we looked at the Eruv, and it wasn't taken care of appropriately. It's mamish usur to carry. And the Ashkenazi chief rabbi said, leave it, don't tell anybody anything, you know, just drop it. They said, how can we drop it? It's us sort of carry. He said, drop it. Sunday morning, he went to the Sephardi chief rabbi and said, you know, I'd like to learn an Inyan, but I'm not quite sure about, can we just learn it together? Sure. They sit down and they learn this Inyan of Eruvin. And suddenly the Sephardi chief rabbi says, oh my gosh, I didn't fix the Eruv correctly at Shabbos. If you knew this, why didn't you tell me? He says, I knew this, he says, but for whatever the technical reasons, carrying into Tveria under these circumstances is only midrabanan. It's only from the rabbis, and it's not as big as a problem as one may think, whatever it is. But embarrassing somebody publicly by saying to everybody, the Sephardi chief rabbi did not fix it correctly, that's a daraisa. Embarrassing somebody is from the Torah. The tiltum with Shabbos is derabana. You see here how, you know, we would think, oh my gosh, you can't carry all my... Embarrassment is even worse. Second story. There were two of Rechim who went to hear the great Baal Musar of Elia Lopian Zatzel give a shir in the Yerushalayim area. and he was giving the drasha, and they had not yet davened mincha, and they see that the drasha is going to go over, and they're going to miss mincha. So one avrich gets up to daven to make sure he gets mincha in. The other avrich sits there. Afterwards, they go to the Chazon Ish, and they ask which one did correctly. Should they have gotten up to daven mincha, or should they have missed the time of mincha, daven marav twice, whatever it is. Chazon Ish said the guy, the avrich who sat and didn't leave the shir, was the correct one. Why? Because even though Rav Elia Lopian was the greatest Balmusser, and he wouldn't really care if someone left, they probably wouldn't even notice if somebody left, nonetheless, it's inappropriate to walk out of the shir. The statement you're making to the rabbi, your statement you're making to the other people sitting there, would potentially embarrass him. And that is usser. You'll make up mincha at another time. Rabosai, do you hear this? If we understand the severity of what it means to hurt another person, we understand what it means to have this consciousness. And Purim, as we've spoken about, is a day of achdus, of unity, to drink and lose out on that unity. And so many people are hurt, not even to talk about, we're not even getting here, the idea of how damaging drinking can be, and how many people have kids, have started drinking on Purim, and then have gotten into an addiction, lo aleinu. That we're not even talking about here. Because that's not the type of drinking we're speaking about. That is not what Purim is about. Purim isn't effort to just go drink. And in fact, the Rav Gamliel says in Source 12, look at the language of the Gemara, of the Shulchan Aruch. Chayev inish l'basume. Instead of just saying chayev inish, a man is obligated. Why? To teach you, only if you know of yourself, that if you will drink wine, yisha'er b'madregat inish, you will remain a man, that you will be able to maintain your dignity and not act like an animal, then you can drink. But you have to be able to look inside of yourself and see where are you holding. And I will tell you, I've had the schus of being by a Chabad rabbi we were very close to in L.A., by many of our yontif meals, and really gained a tremendous amount from being in the in his presence. And on Purim, when he would drink, he would be crying. Why can't you say a kapitzel Tehillim, you know, with kavana? Why can't you be crying when you say Tehillim? There are people who, when they drink, if you're around great people, different Torah come out of their mouth. Those are the people who it's appropriate to drink. Those are the people who reach this higher level. If you're not going to be on that level, better not to drink. Ah, so you'll ask, well, how do I fulfill the halacha? So again, back to Rabbi Strickhoff Sefer, the Yad Ephraim explains the mitzvah is ad delo yada. Once you become intoxicated until the point you cannot differentiate, but no further. In other words, once you not become intoxicated to the point of, but not including the point of being unable to differentiate between Baruch Mordechai and Aruch Hama. In 6:15:6, many hold that getting very drunk is not necessary, and just drinking a bit more than one is accustomed to enables one to fulfill the obligation. By drinking and Purim a little more than one usually does, one is considered intoxicated for the purpose of the mitzvah. In addition, in the bracket, the Ramah suggests taking a nap, whereby one's unconscious state will preclude the differentiation between Baruch Mordechai and Aruch Haman. However, the phrase can also be read as a personal requirement, and that is to become intoxicated with Purim itself. The final idea, I mean, a lot of people hold by the Ramah, you just drink a little bit more than you used to, you go to sleep, and you're outside, finished, that's it. You don't have to get drunk until that point. When you're sleeping, obviously you don't know the difference between Aruch Hama and Baruch Mordechai. However, my friends, and this is where we'll begin as a segue to our second idea, and that is, Chayev Inish L'Basumei B'Purya, you get drunk not in wine, but in Purim. You get intoxicated with the beauty of the day, with the godliness of the day. That's the obligation on Purim. What's the beauty of the day? So that is our next level of not knowing the difference between Baruch Mordechai and Aruch Haman. The Rabbi Strickhoff brings an idea, which is a very beautiful idea, that the numerical value of Baruch Mordechai and Aruch Haman adds up to the same. When you're unable to do that mathematical equation, you have fulfilled your obligation. For some, that will be even before they take even a sip of wine. Having said this, let's try to understand this idea of Baruch Mordechai Aruch Haman On a deeper level, there's a lot to say. Rav Gamliel Rabinowitz and Teva Ma'atim points out that Klal Yisrael are on a level of Emunah, we're Maminim, but they Maminim. And the highest level of Amadragat, Bohan, Nikrebel, Lashona, Ketub, the asterisk in 17, of Einor Bavado, which means, Cheinor Ebeshum Devar Kim Shashem Hu Elokim. All you see is that Hashem is God, Vishich Vodo Yiparech Bole Kol Ha'aret, and that He and His essence fills the entire world. And 18, Ubayot Adam Zocheb Emepipnimut Nafsho, Litragel Tamid Lichyopa Karavi Yidiyat Hamet HaPashut Hazo. When you come to this recognition and you live your life, that Einod Bavado, all there is the will of God, you come to a level of where you see everything as Shaveh, as equal. Hakol Shaveh Tzloba Tachlita Shivayon, everything is equal, both the good aspects of life and the more challenging aspects of life. Why? Because they're coming from the same point of departure. They're coming from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. They're coming for us to grow and for us to learn. When you understand this, my friends, you understand that it's not the individual called Haman, and it's not the individual called Mordechai that is creating these realities. Haman is just a puppet in the hand of Hashem. He happened to be a negative person, so Hashem is having him with the aspect of the punishment. Mordechai happens to be the tzaddik, so he's the shaliach, the emissary of good. But it's not about our Haman Baruch Mordechai. There's only one reality. It's Einod Bavado. So you're supposed to drink to a level, and this he continues in 19, at a level that's higher than our das. Our knowledge only goes so far. Emunah takes us a step further. Ad lo yata, you have to get drunk on Purim, either through wine or through your own avodas Hashem, that you realize that there is no difference between our Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Both are stemming from the same place of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That this is, it's not about a Haman, it's not about a Mordechai, it's about Ritzon Hashem, the will of Hashem, and he carries it out to fulfill his plan in many different ways. As Rabbi Leff notes in his Sefer on Festivals of Life in Source 20, the joy of Purim is the joy of knowing this world has purpose and design. It's not left to blind chance. There's no happiness greater than the resolution of doubt. Purim resolves the doubts caused by Amalek. The joy is expressed by the Gemara joining us to drink wine at the Loyada, Gemara Megillah, becoming intoxicated until one cannot discern between blessing Mordechai and cursing Haman. What? Who has faith and trust in Kaddish Baruch Hu and realize that is he who runs the world can feel secure even when a situation where his own lack of control is most apparent, where he's not even sure what is positive and what is negative. The realization that the world is not the product of chance and accident, but the creation of intelligent God who gives it purpose and direction, gives a Jew a feeling of intense self-worth because he is of supreme importance in God's plan. That's the goal of Purim. To realize that we are in Hashem's hands and that He has many ways of fulfilling His purpose in life. When I understand this, notes in Siva Shalom in Source 21, I reach the level of Simcha, and Simcha, as the Maral defines it, of Shlemus, of wholeness. And as the Maral also defines, there are three realms of Shlemus. There's Shlemus, wholeness with myself, wholeness with my friend, and wholeness ultimately with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Ad delo yata, when you realize that there's no difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai, you're able to reach a level of Simcha because you're able to reach a level of Shlemus in all these dimensions. How so? So he notes in 21 that Kriyas the Megillah, he michlal ha-shleimus imbaro, the mitzvah of reading the Megillah enables us to reach a level of wholeness kivyachol with Hashem. Because we know, dinei yeshmanim shekadosh baruch hu ozer leyudi shemocho v'libo p'duchim markish karov l'alokah. There are times that we're feeling on top of the world in relationship with Hashem. Those are the Baruch Mordechai times where I feel like a shemak in my avodas Hashem. And then there are times, v'yishinam zmanim chashukim biyoter, shemar gishim, ki nitrachek v'od, me'akarish baruch hu, shenim sada hester, binyanim gashmim, binyanim ruchaniim. And this is the most difficult time for people, where we feel we're so far away from Hashem, where I feel so cold, I feel so distant. And those are the times of Aruch Haman. And what we see on Purim is that in both times, when I feel close to Hashem, when I feel far to Hashem, I'm still Bani L'Makom, I'm still Hashem's child. And that's where the Kriyas Megillah points out in 22. That even though we had sinned and we were far from Hashem, Hashem, with His tremendous love, still took care of us, came down and saved us. And that's what we have to understand, that no matter where we are in life and where we think we are in life, we have to realize that our Avodas Hashem is about recognizing wherever we are, it's about connection to Hashem. And indeed, we know the Sfarim say that oftentimes those times when you feel the farthest away from Hashem, those are the times that you're really gaining the greatest closeness. Because when you're close, you have to ask yourself, am I doing this mitzvah, Shabbos, because I want to connect to Hashem, or because I enjoy my challah, and I enjoy my Shabbos rest, and I enjoy taking a nap one day a week? Like, are you doing it for yourself? You think you're feeling close, but it's really a feeling of self. When you're feeling far, and I'm doing a mitzvah, and I don't really feel like it, I'm davening, but I feel so distant from Hashem, indeed, perhaps that's even a closer connection to Hashem, because it's not about you, it's not about what you're feeling, it's about giving yourself completely to Hashem. Mikra Megillah is that mitzvah that represents that whether you're in an Arah Haman state or Baruch Mordechai state, you are still connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a tremendous amount of love, and recognize that. Likewise with your friend. There are some people you like, some people you don't like. The mitzvah Mishloach Manos is to specifically give to people who you may not get along with, people who you may feel tension with. That shows you that no matter where you feel toward people, you've created a shleimus. You've created a oneness in this mitzvah as well. And Mechiyas HaMalek is to take out those voices in you of, what am I spending my whole world doing? Maybe I should just be living more of a spiritual life. Why am I so physical? Take those voices out of you and realize that even the Arah Haman, even those aspects that you detest, the physical aspects of life, those too are ways to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And those too have a purpose in this world. So really, the idea of seeing the totality of the picture of Shleimus, that wherever we are, whatever situation we are, there is this relationship of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether it's Arah Haman, Baruch Mordechai, whether it's difficult, whether it's easy. I understand that these are all times to connect to Hashem, and there's no room for depression, despondency, or despair in our relationship with Hashem, and that's a simcha of Purim. To say this another way, this in my mind is mamish the key source. Modeh Labina Rav Ratber Shishiva B'nei Brak. Listen to this source, my friends. This is it. Ve'efshar sheyesh lo sif b'zeh habeor omram zal b'chulim. Haman mina Torah min ayin. Where is Haman hinted out of the Torah? Hamina eats from the tree that I told you not to eat. Did you eat? V'lamur achilat eitz hadat garma l'ro dvarim gam mitzad harash shelahem. What happened as a result of eating of the tree of good and evil, that we now start seeing things from a negative perspective. Dat tov hara, good and evil. Ala emet hi shakol tov. Really, everything is good. V'achil meitzadat hi shikamati v'utai stakl sholom asev. So leading from eating the tree, that suddenly we have a distorted vision. Sheish rabbi yesh tov. And that vision tells me there's something called good and something called evil. Aval tzav shal adam rishon kodem achein u'matzav shakulo tov. But really, the level of adam rishon before the sin was all good. The zesher tukan v'yom ha-purim, tikun misiyam v'chein etzadat. What's going on in Purim is a rectification of the sin of the etzadat. I'll just add here, a lot of the Sfarnish, Pinchas, and others have essays on that the tree that Adam ate from and Chava ate from was none other than the geffen, the anavim, was grapes that she squeezed into wine. And that's why he didn't know it was from that tree. And that's why we have Kiddush every Friday night as a tikkun. But this is the drinking on Purim. Our drinking on Purim is to bring us to these high spiritual heights, ad lo yada, until we reach a level pre-Adam HaRishon sin, when before he ate from the tree of Chet Hadad Tov Vara. It was to be able to reach that level of only seeing the Tov. And that's the idea of Chayvin Ishmasume Por Yadul Yadav Ben Aruham on Lebaruch Mordechai. The idea of Ben Aruham on Lebaruch Mordechai, he idea to Olam Hazeh, that there's an idea called cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai, is a concept of our world. Yadid Shem and Tzius Tov Ara, a concept of good and bad. Aval Bepurim Purim on Purim, Nitgalesha in Yediyah Zol Nechona. We see this isn't true. Because the idea Hamiti, Chakol, Atov, Hameti, what we see on Purim is that everything is good. That it's all coming from a good place. Simcha Purim hi levatem, Mahut of Purim is getting to the essence of Purim. Umahutowi adelo yadav and haman lamordechai, I adiyav and tov lara, mishum de'ein musag shara. Sha'arei HaKol Tov. There's no difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai, because there's no difference between good and evil, because it's all good. It's reaching a level of Adam HaRishon before the sin. Purim will not be batel in the future, will not be lost in the future, because Purim is that highest of the Jewish calendar year. Pinchas speaks about this, the apex of the Jewish calendar year. Purim is that one day a year we go back to Adam before the sin. It's the tikkun. It's the receiving of the Torah mi'ahava. It's going back to that point of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaTov V'Hameitiv. He is good and does goodness for others. Rabosai, if I understand that's what Purim is about, when I don't know the difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai, because there is no difference, because there is no good and bad, it's all good, because it's a level of Adam Rishon before the sin, and the drinking brings me back to a tikkun of Chedei Tzadat, I can now appreciate a very beautiful idea that will give us an insight into Hamatashen from a whole different perspective. It's a very, very deep idea, my friends. Literally, hold on to your hat. And then we'll get to the third idea of what that is about. Rav Eisenberger, Masils Bavavim. He says we read the Kriya Torah on Purim in Source 26. It's about Mechias Amalek. And in that Kriya we say, V'sim bo znei Yoshua, ki machom chad zecher Amalek mitach ha-shamayim. Put in the ears of Yoshua that I am going to destroy Amalek from under the heavens. Now this is a very strange language. Put in the ear of Yeshua, it's almost like, whisper to him that the Malach is going to be destroyed. What's going on here? Why is this whispering going on? So he brings the idea of Briskunas Olam that says that we have another place where we whisper, and the two whisperings are connected. And that place, clearly, my friends, you can almost guess yourself, is the asterisk, second one in 26, of Baruch Shem Kavo Machus Olam Va'ed. What's the idea of Baruch Shem Kavo Machus Olam Va'ed? So right after Shema, we say that Hashem's name is, and glory is, in God's glory of His kingship, it will be manifested forever. Now, this is not true in our world. We don't feel God's manifestation forever in this world. The Malachim are able to say this out loud because they sense it. In 28, our neshamas want to say it out loud because they believe it. They know it. They're living on that level. But we're enclosed in a body, and the body lives in this world, and this world is limited. In this world, we don't see that, you know, manifestation of God in that clear way. And that's why we whisper it. Whispering, we know in 29, is the language of the neshama, the kol dvama daka. It's that part of us that wants to be able to say, yes, Hashem's name is forever. But because of the physicality of this world, we're limited. Now, what's this idea of God's presence being manifested forever? So that really gets us into another Gemara, where the Gemara says in Source 30 that this world, on the Pasuk, Bayom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad Mishmocha, on that day Hashem's name will be one, and He will be one, His name will be one. So the Gemara asks, and now He isn't one. So Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, Lo Kol Lam Hazeh HaLam Haba, right about 31, our world isn't like the next world. In the future world, in our world, we write it out, Yud Ke Vav Ke, when we write out Hashem's name, but we pronounce it Aleph Dal Nun Yud Ado Shem. In the next world, we're going to write it and read it as Yud Ke Vav Ke. What does this mean? So, work with me, it's not so complicated, a little bit. The Yud Ke Vav Ke is God's manifestation in this world. It's being able to see Hashem's presence in this world in a clear way. We don't see in a clear way. There's things that seem to go against the way Hashem sees things. And there are certain things in our lives that don't make sense. So in our world, we can only say that Hashem is the Adon. He's the master. But I can't pronounce, we don't even know how to pronounce, the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei name the way it really is. Because we're not living in that reality of seeing Hashem with this clear manifestation. The one place where this name was said out loud was in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Brings to mind, I'm sure you're thinking, that when we when we have the Musaf of Yom Kippur, we speak about the Chol Ha'am, Kishayu Shomim Et Hashem, right? Coming out, Ripi Kohen, Kedusha B'Tara. What did the people do? Hayu Korim Mishtachavim Ve'omrim Wa? Baruch Shem Kvav Machus Olam Ve'et. The one time we did say Baruch Shem Kvav Machus Olam Ve'et was when we heard this, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei real name coming out of the Kohen Gadol's mouth in the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is not part of this world. It's in that other realm. And in that other realm, Hashem is manifested le'olam va'ed, forever. In our realm, this is not where we want it. We don't want Hashem's presence to be the way it is now. We're the Adon part, the master. We're looking for that Beis HaMikdash, but we don't have that. That's why, in the asterisks in 32, it's very interesting. When we hear a bracha, right? Let's say you're saying amen to the Berachos HaShachar, or any bracha that you're not being yotzei yourself. You hear someone saying a bracha, you're not being yotzei. What do you say? Baruch Hu of Baruch Shemo. You know, people, you know, somehow don't have enough patience to say that, so they say Baruch Hu or Baruch Shemo, and then it becomes even more connected. Baruch Shemo, Baruch Shemo, Baruch Hu. And like you don't even know what they're saying. But if you were to say it correctly, it's Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. What does that mean? Listen closely. Baruch Hu, blessed is Hashem for the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei name that I cannot pronounce, and Baruch Shemo for the Adon part of the name that I hear. That's the Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. It's read one way, it's written another way. So Baruch Hu is the way it's written, Baruch Shemo is the way it is read. Now, what does this have to do with anything? So let's take this one step further, a little bit deeper, and then we'll get into Purim. There is one time that we do say Baruch Shem Kavod Machus Olam Ve'eh, not Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, and that's by Shema. Shema, when we say the Shema, we know that the Shulchan Aruch brings down that really every time we say Hashem's name, you should have in mind Hayah Hoveh V'yeh, He was, He is, He will be, and the way it's written, and Adon HaKol, that Hashem is the master of everything. Generally speaking, most people should just have in mind, at least basic, that Hashem, the way it's read, Adon HaKol is the master of everything. There's one exception. In the Shema, you have to have in mind, when you're saying Shema to fulfill your obligation, when you say Shema Yisrael Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, you pronounce it Adoshem, you should say to yourself, Hayah, Hoveh, V'yah, Hashem was, is, will be, and Adon HaKol, He's the master of everything. Elokeinu, He's Takif, Baal Yecholot, He's all-powerful. Hashem, Hayah, Hoveh, V'yah, Adon HaKol, Elokeinu, again, Hashem, that Hashem, Echad Hashem, is one. When I say the Shema, with having both in mind, then I whisper, Baruch Shem Kavo Machuso Lovet, because I have a glimpse, when I say Shema, of that future world. I have a glimpse of that time, of Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He'll be one. His name will be one. We'll live in that world of perfection. So when I say Shema, and I enter into that little glimpse, a momentary glimpse, of the perfection of the next world, my neshama screams out, Baruch Shem Kvo Machus Olam Ve'ed. I can't wait to be able to scream this out like on Yom Kippur, when I'm in the state of Malachim, when I'll be able to live this perfected state. And indeed, we know, what is stopping us from living in the state of perfection where Hashem's name will be one? It's a Molech in this world. It's the evil in this world. And that's why in 36, if you do the gematria of Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and you minus it from Baruch Shem Kvo Machus Olam Ve'ed, Shema Yisrael is 1,118, Baruch Shem is 1,358. The difference between the two is 240, which is the gematria of Amalek. Amalek is what's stopping us from screaming out Baruch Shem out loud. Now, with this we can appreciate, my friends, with this we can appreciate what Purim is about, and the drinking on Purim 37. Pasuk says, Ktov zot zikaron basefer. Write this in the book. The sim balznei Yeshua and put in Yeshua's ear. We have both aspects, the writing and the speaking. And the idea of sim balznei Yeshua is because we're not in the perfect world. By whispering it, we're saying is we're like in the whispered world of Baruch Shem, where I wish I could scream it out. I wish I lived in a world where there was complete Mechiyas Amalek. But however I look at the world I'm in and the physicality I'm in, and I'm not there yet. And this is why, really because of the Kedusha of the day, when we go back to Adam HaRishon before the sin, when Amalek doesn't exist, and all there is Kedusha and Tara, that's what Purim is about. I want to scream out Baruch Shem. I want this to be a day where this is going to be the ultimate, where we say Hashem's name, His Kavod, His Malchus, the Olam Ve'ed is forever. I want to scream it out. But I can't, because I'm in a physical body, and I'm eating, and I'm drinking, and I'm living the physical world unlike Yom Kippur. So what do? I get drunk. Getting drunk is, the goal of getting drunk is that I should be nichnas yayin yatzah, so that the secret should come out. What's the secret? What should we scream when drunk? Baruch Shein Kevav Malchus Olam Ve'ed Hashem, I want your presence to be manifested in this world fully. Getting drunk is one purpose, to be able to get us to this level of recognition, that this is the only thing that we can scream out, Hashem. I can't say it out loud, but if I'm drunk and I don't know what I'm doing, so then it's appropriate to say it out loud, because that's my vision, that's my whole gestalt on what Purim Day is about. And this explains, he notes in 39, why we eat kreplach, hamantash, and other food that's covered. Because we're living in a world of concealment. We're living in a world of covering. But we want to be able to get to the essence. We want to be able to get to the whisper, to the Baruch Shem, to the jelly in the hamantashen, to the meat in the kreplach, or in the stuffed cabbage, whatever minhagim you have. That's what I want to get to. I want to get to being able to get to the core of what the day is really about. It's about the sim balznei Yeshua. It's what's found in the inner, the ear, the inside, the idea of the Malchus Hashem. And he says in 40, Shekiblu gana tekinui osnei Haman. Hamantashen are given the name osnei Haman, literally Haman's ears, which is like so bizarre. Like we're eating Haman's ears. You ever thought about that? I'm sure you haven't thought it's so bizarre. That's not what it's about. It's about the whispering, the oznayim, the ktov be'oznei Yeshua, in the ears of Yeshua, whispering that Haman is still here because I can't scream it out. And that's why when I chew and I break the hamantashen down, what I'm really doing is getting to the essence of being able to scream out this reality of Einod Mavoto, of Baruch Shem Kavo Machus Olam Ve'ed. That's the goal of Purim. So my friends, let's just summarize what we've seen so far, just add a nekuda on this level, and then Emir Tzashem will go to our final one. What is the goal of Purim? The goal of Purim is reaching a level of the Tikkun Adam HaRishon before the sin. There is no Ra, it's all good. It's the time when Hashem's name will be read and written the same way. It's the time where we'll be able to say the Bracha Vatova, Meitiv on everything. We'll see the goodness in everything that happens. Purim is a bird's eye view into that world of there's no difference between Haman and Mordechai, because there's no difference between Aror and Baruch, cursed and blessed, because everything is good. It's a world of complete goodness. That's what Purim is about. That's why in Purim we have the idea of getting drunk, because I want to be able to access, like screaming out of me, that Baruch Shem Kivo Machus Olam Ve'ed, that secret of Hashem's kingship manifested forever, is what Purim is about. I can't say because I'm in a physical body. I'm not like on Yom Kippur as an angel, but I want to say it. So I scream it out. The Hamantashen is getting to the core, the Osnei Haman, whispering, to recognize that the day of Purim is about taking that whisper and breaking through that whisper and silence, that kol dvamah daka, to screaming out, Einod Mavado, there is none other than Hashem. And we have to live that reality, my friends. 35b, the Siftei Chaim brings down from Rav Chaskel Zatzal, who says that you want to know why we have the mitzvah Machias Amalek to destroy Amalek before Purim? Because it is, he shekolecha mitanu yim as v'snat harash v'toch atzmo. The mitzvah is to get rid of the evil inside of ourselves. V'ideza v'yakor v'imchet Amalek harash v'kirbo. We have to get rid of the Amalek that's found within us before we can even get to Purim. Purim is a day of achdus, of unity, where we get along with one another. Mishloch manos, matanos levyonim. As we've spoken about him, he speaks about as well here in a source we didn't do, that the greatest simcha of Purim is making people happy. It's building people up. It's making people feel good. Not insulting them with your drinking, you know what you're saying. Don't be so drunk. Use that energy instead of drinking a little bit more so you're a little bit happy, to make people happy. That's the day when lo yebecha evyon, there won't be a poor person in the land. Future vision. Make sure that all the anim have their needs taken care of. As the Rambam says, that's the greatest mitzvah of the day. To be able to harbos, to be able to give, to be mesameach, the lev anim, the yisomim, to make those people happy. That's Purim. So if we would have to understand what Purim is, you know, I hate to use this imagery, so it's Lahavdil Elif Alfa Avdolos, not to compare. It reminds me, again, Lahavdil of Mr. Rogers, whatever that show was, I guess it's called Mr. Rogers, where he used to press the button and the trolley would come and you went into that land of make-believe. That's what Purim is, Lahavdil. It's a land of make-believe. It's a land of perfection. It's a land of all goodness. It's a land of simcha. And that's what we have to understand. And in this world, it's a world where umalar, it's deyat Hashem kavayim lepanim. You're filled with Hashem's knowledge. And therefore the tefillah, the yislavos, the davening, the bakashos on Purim take on a whole different vantage point, because you're not just down here. You're in a world of recognition, of closeness to Hashem, and your tefillahs enter into a whole different dimension. So if we understood that drinking has to really be done, chayiv inish, to a person who knows they are on this level. And again, as wives, one can't say to their husband, you know, you're not a man when you get drunk. You have to sit down at this time, a week before Purim, and say, you know, let's discuss, what is it like to drink? How do you feel? What do you think happens when you get drunk? If you're not quite sure, so then I'll video you this year, and then we can decide, you can decide next year if this is an inish or not, right? And again, with children, to be so careful that mamish, not to really let them drink, because they can't reach this level. And drink, l'shem drink, obviously, there is an inyan, yes, that they should drink more than they usually do. Usually have one cup of wine, give them two, and that's it. And let them go to sleep, and let them fulfill their obligation that way, but not drinking chayav inish, you have to get drunk, that's not so clear. Ad delo yada, until you know, not included. And obviously, you have to be on that spiritual level to be able to drink. It's an avoda, it's a service. Ad delo yada, ben avraham lebaruch mordechayim, if you don't drink, you're chayav inish v'sumei bepurya, you're so happy in Purim that there's no bad. Everything is good. And that's called poshe jad notnim lo. We look at every person with good. I'll give everybody who comes to my door. I don't look with askance at people. It's a vision of good to everyone. Whoever comes, however they come, the dressing up, it's a vision of, I only see the goodness around me. That's the living in that make-believe land in the olam, in the future world vision. And Pearl will be around in those times. The final idea, Lahavi Laskia, what does it mean about Das? So we know the problem in the Chedes of Das, Rav Reis points out in Torah 41, was that Chava used her Das. She said, oh, gee, wouldn't it be good to be like God if I eat of the tree? And that's why the tikkun of the door of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, when they followed after Hashem, right, without asking questions, they went back to the level of Adam Rishon before the sin by Maman Har Sinai, because they submerged their das, their knowledge, to the will of Hashem. We're not going to ask questions. Comes along Chet Egel, and once again they start, you know, cheshbonning things out. They lost that level of Adam Rishon before the sin. Das, knowledge, has to be used to sublimate it to the will of God. What happened in the story of Purim? So Rav Roth, Zatzal, and Sichat Eliyahu points out the nasty bah, what was the reason that they were meant to disturb? Shimon Bar Yochai says two reasons. One is they enjoyed from the meal, and two is they bowed out to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. Why did they do this? And the asterisk in 44, was what they felt was the appropriate thing to do. They are the minority. The nations are big and strong, and they felt they were going to endanger themselves if they were to disobey publicly. And we know that our rabbis tell us that when the nations have it out against us, just like hide yourself. Don't promote yourself till the zam, the anger, wears off. That's very funny. Nice in 45, Ella, Shekol hanagazu shelet spinu atzmechem, nechonat shezem agil inyan shel halacha. That's very nice till it comes to halacha. When it comes to Jewish law, you can't start cheshboning out. Well, if I don't bow down, then. Well, if I don't go to the meal, then. When it comes to halacha, you have to be able to sublimate your dat to the dat, the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that is the idea of Purim is ad lo yada. Realize that what got us into this problem in the first place was our dat, was our knowledge. We thought too much. So Purim is a time to go above that level of dat, shinyanohu l'tashtesha tadat, where you're no longer able to think clearly, right? You know, it's like the designated driver who won't take wine at the wedding because I'm supposed to drive and I can't think clearly and I can't drive. So that's what drinking does. Drinking is l'tashtesha tadat. It makes you woozy. So that is to remind us of what was the problem. The problem was our knowledge. Using it to think what we thought was best, when we have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's best. Rav Gamliel takes this one step further, and he says in 46, on every holiday, we give something to Hashem. Pasuk says, V'lo yiru panai rekam, don't come empty-handed. So on Sukkot, we give our house to Hashem. On Pesach, we give our bread. On Shavuos, we give our sleep. On Yom Kippur, we give our physical enjoyment. Every day, we give something. What do we give on Purim? Purim, we give our das. We give our knowledge to Hashem. And that's why Purim is of the highest level, because this is the most, as we spoke about, most primary thing of a person is their das. Rav Pinkus takes this idea and he takes it one step further. And he says, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world is that generally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyocho responds to our initiative. We said Nasa v'nishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. We did the mitzvah for Smila and Dan Pesach. Hashem passed over the houses. We take the initiative, Hashem responds. Albeit that there was initiative in the Purim story, the Esther fasting and the people fasting, the Samos HaZakasa, albeit that is true, the Ikar HaNes of Purim was without the Shtatfut of Klai Yisrael. The Klaya, the destruction, was of such a magnitude that Hashem said that whatever you're going to do is not even going to be enough to counter this gzeira. So do me a favor. It's as if Hashem says in 48 in the bracket, Ki ilu shekash baruch omar atem tachu atzida. You move aside. V'tnu li lasot et havoda. Let me do this. And Hashem b'chvodo ba'atzmo came down with rachamim and ava and didn't even look at whether we deserved it or not and saved Klal Yisrael. And that, my friends, is what Hashem tells us each and every year. Hashem says, in order for me to be able to bring you Hatzalah, you got to get out of the way. Because when you are here, you think you know best. And your dad, your knowledge takes over. And then you and I can't live together. It's only when you're drunk and you don't know what's going on that you can really be able to move aside and focus in completely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, it reminds me of a story, which I think is very reflective of this, of a Mazel Tov, a chassan from America, gets engaged to a girl in Eretz Yisrael, and the family comes, and they're staying at a hotel, and the last day in the hotel, the husband took the flight out the day before, and she stays to finish things up, and she's supposed to give $5,000 to the Kalas family before they go back. So she looks at her suitcase, she can't find the $5,000. Tears the place apart. If any of you have ever lost anything, right? I'm a Rabbi Binyamin, three times forward, four times backwards, you're standing on your head, giving all the stuck up, nothing. calls up her son. They tear the whole place together. She tells him, tell people, you know what, I know we're supposed to check out, but I lost all this money. Maybe my husband hid it in the hotel room. Can we just wait here till he lands? And they agree to that. And he lands, and she calls him up hysterical. Where is the money? He says, I gave it to you. What do you mean you gave it to me? I gave you the money. I don't have the money. You didn't hide it in the hotel room? No. She can't find it anywhere. Now, $5,000 in cash is a lot of money, my friend. So all of us who've been in the situation, maybe not $5,000, but who've lost things, we know what women do next is called hysteria. Okay, after we finish the hysteria, she then starts thinking calmly, and she says, you know, I remember right before I left, there was a message on my machine that someone was marrying off a child and wanted to borrow from me $5,000, which I had the ability to give. I just wasn't, I didn't have energy to just deal with this. So I didn't even answer them. So she says, Hashem, if I find this money, and, you know, as she's looking through these things for the 400 million time, right, I will give this people $5,000 as a loan. She doesn't even finish saying the sentence, and a sweater she picks up, out comes the $5,000, right there. So then she says to her son, you know what, I didn't finish saying that promise to Hashem, so maybe I don't have to give the $5,000 to those other people because I found it before I finished saying that promise to Hashem. And her son looked at her and said, Ma, you've missed the boat. How could this happen? Because our dad, our knowledge is such that we think we control the world. You know, God, I need help, right? It's that parking spot, right? I give all the stuff you find parked, right? God, I found the parking spot, I don't need your help anymore. Like, God, I need your help. Oh, I found the money, thank you, Hashem, but no, thank you. That's our dad. Our dad gets it in the way. Our knowledge gets in the way, and it's hard to bring Hashem in. So one day a year, Hashem says, you know what? I just want to bench you with tremendous amount of goodness. But the problem is that you get in the way. And you know, you think you're running the show, and you think you know what's best for you. I want you to get drunk, until you don't have that. And then I can give you what I know what is best for you. And that is why I'm Purim. We know that we can, there's an inyan of bitachon, that if all year round we say, you know, I can't be able to say all of Tehillim every week, or I can't learn X amount of halachas a day, whatever it is, I can't do, I'm incapable. And Purim Hashem says, daven for those things that you thought were incapable, and you'll see you're capable, because you're in the way. You limit yourself. If you would just move out of the way, you'll suddenly see you have the ability to say Tehillim all week. You have the ability to learn those two halachas. You have the ability to do that chesed. You have a lot more in you than you realize. Purim is about moving aside to let Hashem in. Purim is about not limiting yourself by your dad, by your own limitations. It's not by accident or a fine idea, and then we'll summarize in Yirtzeh Hashem. The Lekach Valipo brings down Rav Shor. There's an idea that the Makat Choshech happened during the day, came out of the day that we celebrate Purim. And as we just spoke about a few weeks ago, what was Makat Choshech? Or was light, was clarity. And therefore, and Purim, Nichnas Yain, Yatzav Sod, on Purim, you're able, Legalot HaSoda, Tamun B'Kirbo. You have this Or HaGanus on Purim, this extra light of Purim, where you're able to take out the Sod, the secret within you, and you're able to realize all your Kochos HaNefesh that have been hidden until now. All those treasures come out. Purim is a time that you're able to look inside of yourself and realize, wow, there's so much more capabilities I have. There's so much more abilities I have that I didn't even realize. I take that light, I take that understanding, and I say, Hashem, if I'm going to limit it by my knowledge, I'll say I can never do this. It's impossible. But Hashem, I'm giving up my knowledge to you. And I'm saying, Hashem, help me be able to accomplish what's almost impossible for me to do, because you're Kol Yachol. It's a day of tremendous kindness. You're all capable. And then you'll see that the miracle of Purim lasts. Mega'ula la'gula. You go from, that's why if it's an Iber year, a leap year, you have Purim the second Adar. You go from Ge'ula to Ge'ula, from redemption to redemption. We're beginning to redeem ourselves from the constraints we put in ourselves, so we're able to leave Egypt to make Tzarim in a month time from now. My friends, what we try to see today, my friends, is insights into intoxication. What does it mean? Chayav inish l'basume. Are you obligated? You're obligated if you're an inish, if you're a person. And again, every person has to know themselves and judge themselves where they're holding. And with your competent Orthodox rabbi. With this having stated, the Ramah clearly states for Ashkenazi, drink and go to sleep. Add a little bit more. Yes, you should drink. It's a separate mitzvah. It's not only the Mishnah of Simcha, but you have to know limitations. And to harm somebody, that's a daraisa. To drink, that's a darabanan. Remember the Tiberius story. Let's get our priorities in order. To hurt somebody's feelings is just unconscionable. And that's what we have to understand. The drinking has to lead to a simcha. It has to lead to every peace being l'shem shamayim, that I'm praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracles. The benching, the davening has to be on a higher level of connection to Hashem. You don't know the difference between Abraham and Baruch Mordechai? Because there's no evil. There's no Abra, there's no Baruch. It's all good. It's all about going back to the Chedei Tzedak, where there's only Tov. There's no Tov Ara. It's going to the level of Baruch Shem Kvod Machus Olam Va'ed, where the Oznei Haman, we whisper. That's how we destroy Haman. When I realize that I'm still whispering, but I want to get to the middle of the Hamatash, and I want to get to the core, where I'm able to scream out Baruch Shem out loud. What's stopping us? The Dat. Our knowledge. Oh, I didn't finish saying it. Therefore, you know, I don't owe the $5,000. Move out of the way. You intellectualize and you rationalize too much. Purim is giving our dat to Hashem. And when we move out of the way, we realize that there are no constraints. Then the secret can come out of how much greater is within us, how much we can accomplish, how much we can gain. And when we're able to do that, we're able then to tap into all the tremendous brachos that Purim has to give, and we move from geula to geula, from redemption to redemption, and every year, as a spiral, we move higher and higher in our recognition and understanding of Einod Mavado, there's no other than Hashem.